whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, great to be with you on a Football Friday. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. And we'll continue to dig into the Chargers and the Texans from a football perspective as we roll up. Seth is going to give you his prediction for the game in the 9 o'clock hour, as he always does. I gave mine a little bit earlier. I got the Texans 23-20 in this game. But we'll for those of you who missed it earlier in the show, we'll keep digging into the matchups here. But let's get into this now. 5 reasons I hate you. This was not an easy one. As you pointed out this week, Seth, you kind of laid the groundwork on this. Like, hey, man, it is kind of hard to find reasons to truly hate the Chargers.
I think a lack of familiarity.
Lack
of
history.
Hasn't been a common matchup. Yeah. There's always the Chargers have been a team and a franchise that always, they feel so cursed, and it doesn't affect us directly as much that you almost feel bad for them.
And it seems like we only play them when the Texans get the AFC West in the rotation. Like,
yeah.
It's not like, remember back in the day when the Texans were winning divisions on the regular and they had to play the Patriots every single year? It just seems like the Chargers and the Texans have never really been in sync with each other. Like, when the Texans have been bad, the Chargers have been good, and vice versa.
There was a time in my life where I could have seen hating Jim Harbaugh, but now at this stage in his life especially, he just seems like the uncle I wish I had.
Yeah.
You know, well, actually, I have an uncle kind of like him, and I would add him to the mix. He's just a delightful, old, kind of eccentric old man.
I hate saying it because he's a Michigan guy. I'm wired not to like Michigan people.
He won a national championship in this stadium.
That's right. That was here last year, wasn't
it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's a good All memory, right. Sean.
Thanks.
That's already really
Preach.
Deep cut there, yeah.
Preach. So let's get into this. 5 reasons I hate you. Number 5. J.K. Dobbins is their starting tailback. Remember that summit meeting of running backs a couple years ago where they all got together on a Zoom call and bitched and moaned about how they don't get paid enough money?
Yeah.
Through no fault of anything but the market.
Right.
You know, like.
Right. Yeah. Like they were going to do something about it. I don't know. Like form a mini guild or something.
Right. And as it turns out, running backs are still underpaid. Like,
yeah.
it accomplished nothing. But here's why I hate J.K. Dobbins. He was on that call.
Yeah.
He kind of weaseled his way onto that. That call had Derrick Henry. High level backs.
It was such a powerful call that Barkley 24 hours later signed a deal for less than people thought he should have signed.
Real convincing.
They added a little something to the franchise
tag.
That's
right.
Somehow.
Yeah, they sprinkled
they
some
juiced
sugar.
It up a little bit.
Yeah, he gave him an extra $900,000.
Dobbins would go on to have 8 carries for 22 yards in that
season.
And
Dobbins would go on to sign a 1-year, $1.6 million deal with the Chargers this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's got a pretty high opinion. He was on that call after missing 26 out of 34 games. He missed the entire 2021 season.
Yeah.
And yet he thought he should have been on that call with all the elite running backs. I would hope they muted him.
He's an Ohio State guy, too.
He is an Ohio State guy. Good job, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Reason 5A to hate J.K. Dobbins.
I think he's from Houston, though, too.
He is from Texas.
Crap. So you're doing that thing already. There's even more listeners are going to hate you now.
Okay, good. That's what you were hoping
for. That's right.
Yeah.
We want J.K. Dobbins.
In this segment, we want to show
the Chargers who J.K. Dobbins really is.
Damn right.
That's right.
All right. Number 4. Now, J.K. Dobbins a little banged up. Gus Edwards has been a little banged up, the running backs. Their solution was to sign Ezekiel Elliott to get a little bit of depth.
Yeah.
I was going to be programmed to hate whatever team picked up Ezekiel Elliott because I thought the reason the Cowboys cut him was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Like, we would really like to give Zeke a chance to hook up with a contender. So that beloved Ezekiel Elliott around the league. Who had a lot of issues early on in his career.
We want him to go be lifting up young ladies' shirts. Of course, he didn't do that in Dallas. Or at least he didn't get caught on film doing that.
Where was he?
He was at some sort of festival. In Tampa. He was at a Gasparilla thing or something.
Okay, I'm just not a big Ezekiel Elliott fan. So if they're going to add a player I don't like, then I don't like them.
Yeah.
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 So, we're going to let him go so he can sign on with a contender. Yeah, because you know what? Everybody's talking about the last thing that Ezekiel Elliott needs to put the cherry on top of the sundae for a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, this will be
Bowl
it'll be the big emotional teary. Like they'll have a 7-minute piece
they're
on
all
it on
up
CBS
on,
the next week.
Up on the dais, passing the Lombardi Trophy around. The owner gets up there and talks. The head coach gets up there, and then they're looking at, where's Zeke? So you come up here and talk
there's,
about
there's
winning
nothing
a,
that makes
he's in
me
street clothes.
Nothing that makes me angrier in life than over-the-top sentimentality.
Yes.
Man, remember Boomer Esiason and Frank Reich? Like, hey, did you guys know they're college roommates? Like, over and over again.
Yeah.
Go die already.
Thank you, Seth.
So, so Ezekiel Elliott, who's been a Charger for all of, what, four calendar
about
days? And is
calendar
a practice squad member of the Chargers. The number four reason to hate the Chargers.
I love you using calendars and adjective in front of days. Calendar days. All right, number three.
It's not like a Jupiter day or something.
Number three. If you go look this up, their offensive coaching staff is like a land of misfit former Texan coaching toys.
Yeah.
Andy Bischoff is their tight end coach.
Who once proclaimed Jeff Driskel the most athletic running quarterback in the league other than Lamar Jackson.
He said that. As a Texans coach, he said that. Mike Devlin, much maligned offensive line coach under Bill O'Brien, he's their offensive line coach.
They've got some pretty good offensive linemen. Okay.
Oh, good. It's nice that he gave him good groceries. Greg Roman is a former Texans coach.
Yeah, Greg Roman.
He's their OC.
He was David Carr's first quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
Or no, excuse me. He wasn't his first quarterback's coach. He was a quarterback's coach.
He was the tight ends coach, then the quarterback's
coach. He started off as like a quality control guy. Okay. I want to say his first NFL job was in Houston. He was really young. Kind of worked his way up the quarterback's coach.
Okay.
But he was never offensive coordinator or anything.
No, not here.
But he is one former Texan who's still there. But then the last guy, who is also a quarterback's coach now in Los Angeles, but who last year worked with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Shane Day.
Yep.
Shane Day's the guy nobody's talking about that might be the biggest factor in this game.
Ooh.
Shane Day.
That's a take.
Who treacherously left Houston to go to take a better job, as a quarterback's coach. He was a senior offensive advisor or assistant last year working with C.J. Stroud. But his inside intel on what makes C.J. tick, I'm not taking that lightly.
I'm not either.
He knows what C.J. likes, doesn't like, what makes him uncomfortable.
And if he spills the beans, I hate him.
Yes.
For this purposes of this segment.
He's betrayed C.J.'s trust.
Now, number two here is you here. You put this in here.
Yeah,
you've been interacting with Charger fans way more than I have.
Just because of my YouTube channel.
Because your YouTube channel.
Yeah, it brings in people from all over, and the algorithm brings a lot of Chargers fans.
Yeah,
this is how they're starting to get a little bit lunatic fringe. The perceived disrespect for Justin Herbert because I did the video specifically pointing out how good Justin Herbert was and that he's better than the numbers would suggest for all these various reasons. The video is replete with nothing but Justin Herbert highlights and one of his interceptions, I think, just to throw in and talk about how few interceptions he's thrown, how hard it is to turn the ball over. And I was greeted when I checked the comments on that video with all these psychotic Chargers fans who are angrily basically restating the exact same thing I'd said, but acting like I had said the opposite. Things like, oh, you guys all say that he hasn't played a tough enough schedule. Yeah. Oh, you want to say he's a game manager. No, I specifically said he's not a game manager.
Yeah.
He's had to manage the game.
This is some hate.
They're psychotic.
Okay.
They are psychotic.
I'll be honest, I'm shocked they had fans.
They've been around a long time.
I guess some of the San Diego people still like travel up to L.A. to go see them.
I think there's probably a lot of L.A. that probably like Mets fans in New York. They're kind of like, I'm going to like the team that is opposite of a lot of the fans in L.A. grew up not liking the Rams.
Right.
So they have that memory, too, they want to root for somebody other than the Rams.
So you've grown a big lather and a hatred for Charger fans over the last
few
days.
Yeah, I'm going to take that 5% of psychotic morons and just assume that the 100% of them feel
like
that way. Yes.
All right, reason number
including one. The ones who are actually like very
cordial.
Very cordial in the comments.
Probably will come back to your...
People have said like, you know what? I'm a Chargers fan, but this is great
this
analysis.
This is good stuff. And
I replied, go die!
Yeah. And I like this Seth Payne guy.
Yeah.
Go die. Oh. All right. I'm going to credit a texter with this one here. And I got to find the text. But it basically... Oh, here we go. This is 979 on the text page for five reasons. Smack-off history on the Jim Rome Show. Multi-time champion, which would be me, versus all-time bad call. A lot of people don't know this. Back when Jim Harbaugh was a player, in 1998. He used to go on the Jim Rome show quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great interview, as you can probably imagine. He asked one year to be in 1998, my first year in the Smack Off, actually. He asked for entry into the Smack Off, and Jim Rome let him into the Smack Off. He said, yeah, Jim, you're in. I'm going to put you in. You get an athlete, pro athlete exemption.
Yeah.
Hoping that Jim Harbaugh would come in and do what you need to do on the Smack Off, which, for those who don't know, on the Jim Rome show, the Smack Off is where you come in and you just, like, he invites the best callers, and you come in and you run your mouth for 3 or 4 minutes about whatever topics you want to, and then he and his staff pick a top 10 and the winner.
For those of you who don't know, Sean T. Pendergast was a five-time champion.
Winner. Yep.
Back then known as Sean the Cablin Asian.
That's right. So Jim Harbaugh in 1998 called into the Smack Off. Here's what it sounded like.
Joined by our only professional athlete in this year's field. He was on the show. He's a good jungle guy. He's respected in the jungle. He asked into the Smack Off. That's all I need to hear. Needed to hear at that point. He's in Orlando, Baltimore Raven, Jim Harbaugh. Jim, it is great to have you in the Smack Off.
Romy, it's good to be on the Smack Off. I just want to say thanks for taking my call, and I'd like to wish everybody out there a very happy holiday. And I don't really have a whole lot of smack to say today. It's a holiday and day of peace and harmony, kind of like Fuzzy and Tiger playing in the Masters. But I want to wish everybody and their families a happy holiday, except for some of your clones who don't really have families and are behind on their child support payments, like your boy Sean in Syracuse. Tell that clone to get a life.
Hang on.
All right, Jim, thank you very much for your input. Went to the child support card, went to the harmony card. All right. Nice job, Jim.
Hang on, the reaction's great.
I'm going to try and do my best to cover that up, but I don't think I'm going to have a prayer.
Okay, there you go. Worst smack-off call of all time.
I wonder
time.
If Harbaugh had something prepared and then, I don't want to say chickened out, but just thought better of it at the last moment.
Maybe.
Like, I'm an NFL quarterback. I really don't like. I don't need to be doing this. I don't need to be. I bet he had a legal pad full of some good stuff.
Okay.
Then he listened to the show. He knows what it's all about.
Then he needed to be the guy that just didn't show up to the party that he RSVP'd to, as opposed to the person that shows up with COVID to the party.
I think I hate Jim Harbaugh. I think I hate him.
Yes!
I think I hate him. He's trying to, because it wasn't even, it's the disrespect.
Dude.
He disrespected
the smack
the institution.
Of the smack off.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're invited. It's like being invited to eat with the president and showing up and being like, I don't like any of your policies anyway, and this food sucks.
It is funny to go back and listen to old calls.
That's
like
any
that.
Generic president, everybody, before you get
right.
triggered.
It's not, yes.
This president's a game manager, whatever, yeah.
It is funny to go back and listen to those calls sometimes because they are a bit of a time capsule. Like when he said, it's peace and harmony, like Fuzzy and Tiger playing at the Masters.
Yeah.
That was a big thing in 1998 when Fuzzy made those racially insensitive comments.
Yeah. So that was after that. I couldn't remember if maybe there was a moment leading up to it where that was the battle they were going into and it was all about golf or something.
It was all about the comments. Yeah, it was all about the comments. So there you go. Number one reason, Jim Harbaugh disrespected the Smack Off.
He did at least, so he did do two kind of Smack Off type things.
He
brought up the Fuzzy Zeller thing.
And then he
talked trash about, who was it? Sean
he said
in Syracuse?
Sean in Syracuse. It was actually John in Syracuse.
Oh, I got excited when I heard Sean.
I did too. During that day, I got excited.
Oh, I bet
excited.
You were. Yeah. That would have been awesome.
I mean, the thing is, I wasn't even divorced yet. There would have been a time 9 years later where he would have been accurate. Like, make your child support payments.
How would you even, back in the day, I was about to say you could have recorded it on your phone, but obviously not. You had your boombox.
I recorded it on tape.
Yeah.
I have cassettes. Yeah. Of the Smack Off back then,
Did you have a tape recorder put up to the boombox, or were you rich enough to actually record?
Rich enough.
Did you have soft eject?
I did.
Ooh,
I did.
Man, soft eject.
I was a working man at that point.
Eject was one of the least heralded yet most innovative, important things that we've ever invented.
Yeah,
there was nothing like soft. The first time you got soft eject, I was like, "This is what the rich folks live like, man." Yeah. Yeah, it's like having a bidet for your cassette tape.
We will circle.
They used to say. That was the advertising slogan.
Well, for the bidet.
It's like a bidet for your cassette tape.
For your cassette tape. We'll circle back to the Texans at the top of the hour. What do we think the shelf life is for Bill Belichick at the University of North Carolina? There's a thou doth protest too much that I want to play in the next segment that I found kind of funny. Yeah, we will get to that coming up next.